Hi, I'm Caleb. This is my mommy's podcast. If you like it, would you please share it, subscribe, and give her a review? I know she'll be very grateful. Thanks, and have an awesome, great, awesome, great, awesome day.
Welcome to The Faint Wick. I'm Melissa Strickland. Happy New Year. A little late. I hope yours is off to a great start and that you're still holding firm to those resolutions, especially the ones you made to take better care of your soul, mind, and body. As for our little Strickland clan, this new year started off with a bang. Like the kind of bang your car makes just before the engine starts spewing black smoke from under the hood. To be honest, 2019 has not been very good to us thus far. Technically, the challenges started last year, on New Year's Eve. Robinson rolled over to me in his wheelchair and, in a low voice, said, "Don't put a plate in front of me. I can't move my arms and hands. I won't be able to feed myself. And I don't want to scare the kids." He then went on to say he didn't want me to take him to the emergency room. We both knew it was an MS attack, and he wanted to wait to contact his own doctor the next day. Plus, the kids were so excited about staying up until midnight, which they managed to do. We decided to give them a fun night, a great memory, and deal with it the next day. And we did have a great night. We watched New Year's Rockin' Eve and drank sparkling grape juice and watched fireworks. And there were precious moments when the laughter drowned out everything else and things felt normal and good. Of course, we called the doctor the next day, but because of the holiday, we didn't hear back. Robinson's speech and cognitive ability were getting worse, and there was no hiding it from the kids. On January 2nd, the doctor's office finally called back. His MS specialist was on vacation because of the holiday, but the substitute neurologist said to get him to the hospital an hour and a half away from our little mountain home as soon as possible. The rest is a long, unpleasant story that ended with him being admitted for a few days. And the larger narrative is that this attack was a big one. He's been home now for a few weeks, and things still aren't great. The fact is, he's just not bouncing back the way we had hoped. He's pushing hard, but this is an evil, disabling disease. It just is. And with this new level of disability came a new normal. He just can't do as much as he used to. And I was hit in the face with the reality of all that he used to be able to do. I found myself stretched thin, trying to figure out how to get it all done. And for a while, that seemed like a better option than stopping long enough to process my husband's pain and my anxiety. And there were so many people, so many precious friends, sending messages of support that ended with, "What do you need?" or "Call me if there's anything at all I can do." But I was determined. I wasn't going to need anything. I would not be a burden. Well, that attitude flattened you out quickly. I bet some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Have you ever been on your knees in the middle of the night, face all slick with tears running down and falling in hard drops on the floor, asking God to give you the energy and wisdom to handle it all? Or even better, to just give you a break? Well, hallelujah and amen. The Lord does work in mysterious ways. And He gave me a break. Like, literally. On Friday, February 1st, just as I thought we could celebrate surviving through January, I tripped on a vaporizer in my daughter's room and broke the bottom of my tibia. It was so painful, I thought I was going to throw up and pass out simultaneously. And the funny thing is, I thought, because I'm a caregiver and I'm used to just thinking that I'm going to do it all, I thought I would just drive my little girl to school, then head over by myself to the emergency room and get it wrapped up. I would not be a burden. It was soon apparent that I wasn't driving myself or anyone else anywhere. I had to reach out for help. I was driven to the doctor's office and I was put in a big heavy splint that is now a cast. And I was told I couldn't put weight on it. Oh yeah, and it's the right leg, so that means no driving. And my mind was churning. Now what? Lord, I'm helpless. And I don't like it. But I wasn't helpless. I was helpful. HELP-FULL. Helpful. My cup was truly running over with offers to help. But I was just letting them spill out of that cup, where they splashed onto the floor right next to those tears I had been shedding. Some months ago, I had started thinking about the whole concept of helping as it applies to caregivers. Of course, I wasn't thinking about needing it myself. It was a study for other people, of course. There's a great little nugget in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, you've probably heard it before. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." I've heard a few sermons based on this passage in my life. I've heard about how God is the great comforter. He is. And I've heard about the different ways He challenges us to be like Him in comforting others. He does. What I have only recently seen in this passage, however, and what I personally have not heard in any of these sermons, is that it is also God giving us permission to accept the comfort of others, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. There's no judgment there. It doesn't say that those who are struggling are a burden to those giving comfort. What I see is God saying that there are folks who need help. So go help them. And if you're one of those people who need help, then you need to cease with all of the pride and fear of looking weak. You need to cease with all of the thoughts of being a burden. If God is sending you comfort, it's because He knows you need it. Who the heck are you to tell Him He's wrong? And there are other places in the Bible where helping, I don't just mean spiritual comfort, though that is critically important, but helping with physical needs is highlighted. In Romans, the Apostle Paul asks the church to help Phoebe in whatever way she may need from you. In fact, Paul himself asked his friends to bring him things in prison, like his cloak and scrolls. One of my favorite examples of the power of helping someone in their moment of weakness comes from Exodus chapter 17. The Israelites are battling Amalek. And here we go again with God's mysterious ways. Victory seems to hinge on Moses holding up his arms. Have you ever felt that you were holding the weight of the world in your arms? Your people, the ones you adore, the ones you would die for, the ones who hold all of the keys to your heart, those people are depending on you for everything, even for their lives. And it's all you can do to hold up that weight. And then, in verse 12, something so beautiful happens. It says, "But Moses' hands grew weary, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun." We don't know if Moses asked for this help, but we do know that he accepted it. And I don't think it diminished him in that moment or for the rest of history. Do you? I mean, just take a few seconds and close your eyes and picture that scene. God could have chosen to use any one of them by themselves, but instead, he chose to use the act of helping, of literally bearing each other's burdens to bring victory to his people. Wow, wow, and wow. Now, do you think it's okay to give yourself permission to be weak? To let a precious friend, or even a stranger, see that you can't do it all by yourself? Do you think it's okay to share a little bit of the weight of the world with those who want to comfort you with the comfort they themselves have received from God? As for me, I was given no choice but to accept help, because I literally can't even drive right now. But even with the frustration that causes, boy, am I grateful for God's glorious revelation of the beautiful power of weakness. Every person who comes to our door with a meal, my dear friend Lori, who gives my daughter a ride to school and back, every person who sends the message that they are ready and waiting to hold up these weary arms, each one of them radiates God's grace. They unconditionally accept my weakness as they become my strength. And they challenge me to want to be that for others. As God comforts me through this amazing community, I want to share that comfort with others. Understand, I'm not talking about the pay it forward thing. That's a really lovely thought, and I'm not condemning that. But what I feel is so much deeper. For me, accepting the comfort of God through the people He has put in my life is a heart transformation. It's not about doing one good to repay another. It's about the longing I feel more than ever for the fellowship of comfort. And my prayer is that in some way, somehow, someday, I'll be able to hold up someone else's arms, and then someone else, and then someone else. Titus 3:14 says, "And let our people learn to devote themselves to good works, so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful." Our salvation doesn't depend on good works, but I believe the health of our fellowship with each other does. I'm not saying that you should do this out of guilt, and I'm not saying that you have an obligation to extend yourself beyond what you can do. I understand that feeling of being underwater and just trying to survive each day. My message is, don't be afraid or too proud to accept help when you need it. And be sure to give help when you can. So here I sit with a big purple cast on my right leg. My cup is full. And I will not spill the blessings all over the floor. And I want to help others. And so I've decided that this is what I can do. And what you can do, even if you're not physically able to comfort others during this season of your life. Pray. Prayer is one of the simplest and most beautiful things you can offer. And I want to pray for you. I want to pray for anyone about anything. And I want to encourage you to pray for other people. Like, really pray for them. Put some muscle into it. Pray like you're helping them hold up the weight of the world. If any of you would like me to pray for you, feel free to message me through the Faint Wick Facebook page or email me at prayer@thefaintwick.com, and I promise I will pray for you. In fact, it would be my honor and privilege. Friends, God knows when you need a break. He knows when you can't carry the burden on your own one more minute. He knows. He knows. And it's okay. It's okay to be weak. It's okay to accept help. It's okay to rest on the rock. Never forget how much God loves you. We didn't record a new song for this episode. People seem to really enjoy the version of Leave It There we recorded a while ago, so we thought we would use it again for today's episode. I hope you enjoy it. Have a blessed day.
If this world from you withholds of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along on meager fare, just remember in his word how he feeds the little birds. Take your burden to the Lord, leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Just take your burden to the Lord. Oh, leave it there. If you trust him through your doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord. Leave it there. Thank you.
If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and your soul is slowly sinking in despair, Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can save and He can heal. Take your burden to the Lord. Leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Just take your burden to the Lord. Oh, leave it there. If you trust Him through your doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord. Leave it there. When your youthful days are gone and old age is stealing on, and your body bends beneath the weight of care, He will never leave you then. He'll go with you to the end. Take your burden to the Lord. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord. Oh, leave it there. If you trust Him through your doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord. Leave it there. Just take your burden to the Lord. Leave it there. Leave it there.
This is Melissa's daughter, Mona. Don't forget to share, subscribe, and review. Thanks a lot.